Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Saints Hour. Mike Austin, a little later, we'll be joined by Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. And as you've been listening, hopefully, to Steve Geller and the many others here at WWL. And a big day, of course, for the Saints as they trim their roster. And you will hear the word initial a lot of times, because that's the way Dennis Allen said it a couple of times today, as they trimmed it down to the initial 53 in this week prior to the first week of the regular season, the Carolina Panthers, on September 8th. So we'll have John DeShazer joining us in just a second. A little later in the show, we'll have Aaron Summers, both with the Saints digital team. John is the senior writer. Aaron is a reporter and host. And again, Jeff Nowak at the bottom of the hour as we try to break this all down and take it from 90 to 53. They can add 16, possibly 17 more tomorrow when the practice squad is formed. And let's bring in John DeShazer, senior writer, color analyst for the New Orleans Pelicans. And John, it was very obvious during the Dennis Allen press conference this afternoon that the word initial 53 was pretty clear in that. You feel the same way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's always going to be a fluid situation, because, you know, you're always looking for upgrades, and that's what he has mentioned throughout the entirety of training camp, that this team will continue to look for ways to upgrade. And so if they find somebody who is released from another team that they feel can upgrade this team and help it, then they're going to add that person. Of course, you know, when you factor in the practice squad and the guys who can be called up on Sundays, that also kind of changes your roster a bit too. So, you know, obviously this team has still some needs and some wants and some areas that need to be filled, and hopefully they'll be able to do so, you know, after this initial round of cuts.
Right, and we went to camp, Irvine, California, back on July 22nd was the arrival, then the press conferences, and the first day of practice on July 24th. And I know we had talked to Saints coach Dennis Allen about, hey, you know, if we just took a couple of areas of not necessarily need or concern, but maybe some question marks, that would have been safety, right? Who's going to be the starter opposite Tyrann Mathieu, and maybe some stability on the offensive line, because you had some question marks with the rookie at left tackle and Trevor moving to a new position, and Nick Saldivari at the time, you know, kind of the starter, but hadn't played a whole lot. And so fast forward to where we are tonight, I kind of feel like that's the same situation that this team is in. I'm not saying it's a bad situation, that guys aren't, you know, capable, but those same two areas, safety and offensive line, feel like, you know, still probably not where this team, from a comfort standpoint, wants to be, and will work to get there.
Well, first you gave me a little post-traumatic stress talking about, you know, training camp, because we were there for 28 days, so that's a long time to be away from home. And second, you are absolutely positively correct, Mike. Those areas are still unsettled, and that's not necessarily a disastrous thing. But, of course, you would love for those areas to be settled. They believe Trevor Penning can be an effective right tackle, so he's going to have to kind of grow into that, and you'd like for it to have happened during the preseason and during training camp. And so there's still a little bit of unsettlement there, a little bit of unsureness there that they're going to have to work through. The safety spot opposite Tyrann Mathieu, you know, Will Harris or Jordan Howden, who's going to be able to handle that? Because that was another area of interest, obviously, that you want to have solidified. You can make do with either, or you can make do with both, but you would want one of those guys to step in and grab that position by the horns, just grab it and say, this is mine. Unfortunately, neither was able to do that, and so you're probably going to have to go through some games to see who best fits with Tyrann Mathieu on a really long-term basis, on a consistent basis, because you don't want to have to be rotating in and out game to game at that position. So you need some stability at those two positions, right tackle. You need some stability at safety opposite Tyrann Mathieu. And as you mentioned, again, left guard, because we feel like Lucas Patrick might be that guy, but you got to get him in some game action and see if he's going to, you know, gel with that offensive line. So there's still a couple of things that the Saints want to work out, a couple of kinks that they need to work through.
And I would say, as we wrap up at least the offensive line point, is that the some of the challenges ahead is that they're working, we're talking about the starting five, but the fact of the matter is you're going to play 8, 9, 10 during the season. Yeah. It's rare that all five are going to stay healthy. You're going to have that second four or five guys, and that'll be the practice squad. And so that's the kind of where you're also thinking, let's not just focus on that starting five, that back four, five, and they'll probably have, Dennis said today, 10 to 12 total if you look at active and practice. But that's still a work in progress as well.
Could not possibly have said it better. Offensive linemen get hurt. You know, NFL players get hurt. But offensive linemen, we've seen Eric McCoy, the center, get hurt. We've seen Cesar Ruiz, the right guard. Those are the two mainstays on the offensive line. We've seen them be injured. We saw Trevor Penning be injured his first two NFL seasons. And so we've seen injuries along that offensive line, and they always like to say next man up, next man up, next man up. It sounds good, but you really need that next man to be a quality guy to step in for however long he needs to step in. And so, yeah, the depth is going to be crucial on that offensive line because, again, not only are you not settled completely on the starters, I don't think, but now you've got to make sure you have capable backups in case of injury or in case one of those starters falters for whatever reason. If he's not playing effectively enough, you've got to have somebody that's able to step in and hopefully hold up his end of the deal with that offensive line. The offensive line is imperative. We know that those guys be cohesive, that they work as a unit, that they're in unison, that they're in, you know, they gel, they're the same chemistry. Whatever cliche you want to throw in there, they need to be as one as much as any group on a football team. And so if you're going through several guys, and that's why the Saints, you know, generally cross-train these guys. You'll see, you know, Landon Young at right tackle, and you'll see Landon Young at, you know, right guard or left guard. You'll see him moving around and those kinds of things. Those things help when guys get injured. You know, in a perfect world, you'd have the same starting five offensive linemen for 17 games, but that's probably not going to happen. So it's imperative that they have quality backups.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, getting to the 53 is one thing. I don't really fill out my 53 because I need to know the positions. I need to know how many receivers you got or running backs or offensive line, because it's almost impossible. Because I would have been surprised that they had 8 offensive linemen and 6 wide receivers. When you look at that wide receiver group, Bub Means was injured. Mason Tipton didn't play in any preseason games, so you can tell they saw enough, at least in Means, somewhere along the way, because he was kind of banged up early. And just in Tipton, to not think that guy could clear waivers, right? To not think that he didn't want to put him out there, and he didn't even play in the preseason. So to me, that was the, if you want to say a surprise, at least for me, was kind of the 6 wide receivers that they kept.
I think Mason Tipton is the story there, because Mason Tipton, as you mentioned, didn't play in a preseason game. Now, when he was on the field for practice during training camp, he was busting gluteus maximuses left and right. I mean, he couldn't be covered, it seemed. And then he pulls the hamstring, and then he goes down, and he can't participate in preseason games. So to have a limited look at him, this team had to have a vision and say, okay, this guy can be useful, and not only as a receiver, because, you know, if he's not going to be one of the top 3 receivers, then what do you have to do? You got to be able to play special teams. So where does he fit on special teams? Is that as a punt returner? Is that as a kick returner? He can do both of those things, I think. And since you're going to 2 kick returners in the NFL nowadays, if you put Tipton back there with Rashid Shaheed, you got two speed guys back there. So you probably would have to utilize him that way because, you know, you're going to have him on the, if you're going to have him on the roster, he's got to be able to multi-purpose. He's got to be able to do something besides be a receiver if he's not going to be one of the top three or maybe one of the top four. You know, Bub Means, not really that much of a surprise to me because he's a draft pick. And obviously you want to be right about your draft picks, but he came on pretty strong late. And one of the reasons he was able to come on strong late was because Tipton wasn't on the field. So that helped Bub Means probably in terms of being able to show what he's able to do. So you do go a little bit deeper at receiver. But when you go that deep at receiver, that means you know those guys are going to have to be able to play special teams, whether it's on the, you know, the kick, whether it's on the punt cover team as gunners or whether it's return guys. You know that those guys are going to have to be able to perform in those duties. And offensive line, I mentioned, you know, Dennis Allen mentioned today that, you know, he's not so concerned about the numbers because, you know, when you're talking about adding a couple of guys on the practice squad and, you know, bringing them up and making them active on game day, you'll end up with enough guys. Again, it's more about, you know, making sure that you have guys who are able to play, who are quality guys, because those guys are going to have to play at some point during the regular season. They're going to have to. And when they are in the lineup, they're going to pick up the ball and run with it.
One of the first moves that the team made today, this morning, was the release of punter Lou Headley, keeping Matthew Hayball, the rookie from Vanderbilt. And if you really kind of think about, I mean, I go back to like the Arizona game, and it's this battle, and in that game, Headley had three inside the 20. He had four punts, 46-yard average, and a net of 41. So, you know, only the five-yard difference. And Hayball had three punts, 53-yard average, you know, boomed a 61-yarder, but his net was 35. So they're returning them. You know, you're out-kicking your coverage. And I was like, wow, this is like Headley's job to lose. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, Hayball, to me, just kept doing what he's doing. And I guess I break it down like this, and this is probably way too simple, but that Headley, I mean, that Matthew Hayball, with practice, maybe not as effective, but can do the things that Lou Headley was doing. All punters do it. Kick it off the end of the football, get it inside the 20. They're all doing it. But can Headley do what Hayball has the leg strength to do? And I'm not sure he does. And they felt like he can do both. And we got one that can only do, you know, one as good. I mean, what were your thoughts along those lines from the punting standpoint?
Yeah, I think that hits that nail on the head too, because I think, you know, and Dennis Allen mentioned that, you know, Hayball's got the stronger leg. Not only is he younger, but he's got the stronger leg. And so both of them, you know, can kick it Aussie style. We know that. But can you, when you deepen your territory, unload the one that flips the field? That's what was missing from the Saints last year. You know, and that's one of the things that they didn't ask Headley to do last year. In Headley's defense, he was brought in because of his style. You know, he was a guy who would only kick it 43, 44 yards, but he was all net because, you know, you didn't get a whole lot of returns on that. Well, now the Saints are understanding, I think, or saw, that there were some situations where they really needed that 55, 60-yarder to flip the field, hopefully, and you got to get the proper hang time, because if you outkick your coverage and you don't get the hang time, then that defeats the entire purpose. If you kick it 65, if you punt 65 yards and the guy returns it, you know, 25, then that kind of defeats the purpose.
Right.
But, you know, you got to have the guy who can hopefully, you know, work on it and get the loft on it, get the time on it, or you can get the cover team down there and cover it sufficiently. But, yeah, Hayball can do what Headley could not do and certainly didn't appear to do consistently in training camp. I mean, there were some days where, you know, you see Headley punt and you'd be like, man, yeah. You know, and there were some days where Hayball had some of those days too. But I think with a younger guy, with a stronger leg, the Saints feel like you can take that chance and kind of mold him in to what you want him to be a little bit better.
And finally, we did. We bonded. We all did. Media and team and Irvine for a month. I've never spent any time anywhere for that long.
God, that's a long time.
I was just wondering, you know, you had an opportunity to really talk to some players. If there was a player, an interview, a moment from a positive standpoint that you kind of take away from Irvine that just, man, that, you know, either an interview or a moment that just kind of sticks in your head.
Well, I love the Willie Gay interviews because Willie Gay, and a lot of folks don't know, Willie Gay was running around practice with a feather in his helmet.
Yeah,
and
that's how fast
with no
right?
purpose. Yeah, he just said, "I found it in the parking lot and I stuck it in my helmet." And I thought there was a purpose to it. He was like, "No, I just, you know, it just kind of gave me some swag." But my favorite interview was, you know, I asked Cam Jordan something about moving to defensive tackle. And Cam kind of looked at me and he said, "John, you've been around long enough. You know better than that, something like that." And it was funny, but it was like, you know what? He's right, but you have to ask those kinds of questions because you need the answer. So, you know, you every now and then you ask something that's a little bit dumb because you need to hear a guy actually give you the answer so you won't have to say it yourself. You need the quote on it. And so that was the one that kind of stood out to me a little bit.
Well, and I will say this because, in practice one day, I remember he was lined up at tackle. He made this great swim move or inside move, and Dennis Allen's 30 yards away. And he's going, "Well, that looks like an inside rush to me. That looks like an inside rush to me." And I was like, "Well, okay." Well, I mean, he kind of made a point of that, him being kind of on the inside. So you were not wrong.
Yeah. And see the thing, and I remember that. I remember Dennis Allen doing that like it was today. I remember that exact rep. And what that was is, you know, hey, you're a guy who's been outside for, 14 years. We need you to go inside for us. We need you to help us out. And so if you do something right, we're going to let you know you did something right because we need you in there from time to time. And I think that was Dennis Allen, going for Cam's ego as much as anything, saying, "Hey, big fella, you can do this now. You just got to put your mind to it." Because, let's be honest, Cam probably a little lukewarm to it. And I'm sure you had to have a little convincing to go in there and do it. But, from time to time, he's been able to do it, and he probably can do it effectively when you get him in there in those NASCAR packages.
Yep. Well, we'll put this whole mess today away, and we'll start again tomorrow and get the practice squad. John DeShazer, senior writer for the New Orleans Saints, NewOrleansSaints.com. Man, appreciate the time. As always, have a good evening, and we'll see where this takes us tomorrow.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right, John.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.